Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, it's Caroline from G-Thanks Just Bought It, reminding you that in between episodes, you can find me on Instagram at G-Thanks Just Bought It Pod. You can find products that don't make it onto the episodes and recommendations from listeners like you. So before you start this episode, give it a follow and say hi in the comments. And for a full list of every product we featured on G-Thanks, visit gthanksjustboughtit.com/episodes. See you there. Hey guys, welcome to another week of G-Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we tell you what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss, and this week we are joined by senior correspondent at Vox, Alex Abad Santos, also my friend. It's 5 a.m. here, it's 8 a.m. there. Alex, welcome to the show.
I'm sorry for making you wake up so early.
I'm already awake. It doesn't matter. I am constantly awake. I am thrusted into the jaws of awake just from the sheer joy of being alive in these times.
You don't sleep, you just wake.
I just wake. That's right. I'm never in an act of sleeping. I'm always just waking up. But you've been up pretty early. You were working out this morning.
I was working out, I'm trying to stay fit in quarantine.
I don't know what that's
working
like.
Working on my mental health because, we all need it.
How's that going? How's your? You are very fit to begin with, but how is your staying fit in quarantine journey?
I want to give you like a screenshot of my entire living room, my New York living room. There are weights all over the place. There's like 4 yoga mats, a foam roller, and I have a Peloton.
You got a Peloton.
I don't have a fancy place to put the Peloton. Like, it's in the corner.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in the Peloton commercial, this was like this amazing view of like, it's like the valley in like Aspen or like.
Yeah.
Or it's like this postmodern, like in this clean house. Mine's just like shoved in the corner.
It's perfect.
Do you see it?
Yes, I do. It's a good one. Well, it's funny because like, do you remember? Well, obviously you remember because you and I are often on the same page about these things, and you are a literal like culture vulture. But remember the Christmas commercial for Peloton with Grace, and Grace got the Peloton from her husband, and everyone made fun of it, and then everyone 2 months later was placing their orders for Pelotons because we were like, we're never leaving the house again.
Yeah, Grace from Boston.
Grace from Boston, looking
and her unnamed husband.
As they all should be unnamed husbands.
Well, the best part of that was like it was like a hostage situation, right? Like she caught it, and then like all of a sudden, like she was filming every day, and seemed like she was forced into it, and she had like the eyes that were like,
yeah, the help me, the like, yeah, the like, I'm filming this commercial, but also like this is my address, like please send help.
And then the reveal at the end was she created an entire video of her on her Peloton thanking her husband for this gift that we don't even know like she wanted.
I can't like imagine like what I would feel. I guess the thing about the Peloton is like it is so expensive and it is so fancy that like a gift that I would normally find to be sort of an offensive one I would be excited about because I'm like, oh my god, you spent like $2,500 on this bike, like that's so nice. I don't think I would. It's not the same as like someone buying you, I don't know, like resistance bands or whatever. But yeah, Grace from Boston never looked happy.
No, but now we're all Grace from Boston because we're stuck in our homes.
It is crazy. She was really ahead of the game. I mean, that feels like 12,000 years ago.
That was Christmas. So I think the whole entire pandemic changed the way we think about things now. It's just like
don't you feel like Kylie Jenner, you're like, this is the year of, remember when she was like, this is the year of realizing stuff? That was like 2 years ago. She like posted on Instagram on like New Year's Day and it was like, 2018 is the year of realizing things. And everyone made fun of her. But like, for me, I'm just 2 years behind. 2020 is all about realizing things for me.
Yeah. The Kardashian Jenners ahead of the curve.
They're always.
They saw it coming.
I would not be surprised if it came out in a few years that the Kardashian Jenner family knew about the pandemic. Like it's going to be like a storyline in like 2 years where it's like 2019 and they like know about coronavirus in like October and they're like prepping. And we're like, then, this was a Kim plant.
And then Kourtney gets to rehash her famous Kim, there's people that are dying.
Yeah. Who knew that that would get so much mileage in 2020, but I seemingly use it multiple times a week.
Yeah.
Now it's part, have you noticed it's part of like the lexicon of like, you will just say it out loud. Like, and everyone knows what you're talking about. You're like, Kim, there's people that are dying. And everyone's like, mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah.
Or you don't even, you just need like the screenshot of Kourtney and her holding her baby. And you're just like, it has a sound.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're like, oh yeah, some pictures have a sound. That's the sound.
Some pictures have a sound. They're all of them are of a Kardashian Jenner. Where's Kendall through all of this, though? I don't keep up.
She was dating someone. Well, the thing about Kendall is that all because of the pandemic, the entire fashion line, like fashion industry, has just stopped.
Right. But is like, she like, because she's a model. Is that what you're
saying? Yeah. So it's just like you can't have a photographer like come and you can't have like a team come and shoot you. It's just like completely, I don't know. I guess she's just, it's just royalties. Royalties and Pepsi.
I hope they're okay. I hope the Kardashians are surviving this.
I hope Kendall is the most okay.
I have always hoped Kendall was the most okay, which leads me to believe she's the most not okay. So, because she like doesn't need my prayers, but I feel like I have to give them to her anyway. The thing about the Kardashians is like, if anyone's gonna like break social construct and have a photographer come to their house to do a photo shoot, it's them.
Well, remember when it was just recently that Khloe like posted that Instagram of her.
No.
Heavily face-tuned face.
I don't know. I don't keep up. I like literally do not keep up with the Kardashians or any sort. I rely on you for all celebrity. Like, you're rolling your eyes at me right now, but I rely on you for all celebrity stuff. I don't know who anyone is. I don't care.
My favorite thing was that Khloe like was like, oh, like, hey, struggling through the pandemic. But like she like posted these pictures of what appeared to be plastic surgery, but like it just didn't look like her.
Yeah.
And then people were like, oh my God, did the Kardashians get a surgeon to come in during quarantine? This was when LA was in lockdown and Calabasas was in lockdown. And they were just like, how did they do that? That's so Kardashian of them.
Let me tell you what I've learned about Los Angeles in the last 7 months of living here. Mm-hmm. No celebrity was on lockdown. They 1000% like did a show where they're like, I'm in my pajamas and I'm home and like, here's my makeup free selfie. And they were all definitely sneaking in help. Like, there's no way. I mean, the first thing that opened in Beverly Hills was like elective liposuction, like in May.
We don't even have facials open. I can't even get a facial if I want it.
Wow.
But you know who is in lockdown?
Who?
Selena Gomez.
Why?
I don't know, because she has a TV show called Selena and the Chef.
Right, where, on Quibi?
HBO Max.
See, again, don't know anything.
Her kitchen's beautiful.
Her kitchen's like very, I've seen some like promo pictures. Her kitchen's like very like vast. Isn't it like very big? Or am I thinking of something?
It's very, very big. It's very, very big. And Selena Gomez is a very tiny human.
Yeah, she's so small. She
and it's like in this weird like industrial but Italian villa style. Like, I'm pretty sure she has a wood burning oven for like a pizza, like a wood burning pizza.
I'm sure Selena Gomez is definitely making wood. She's like, oh, I'm gonna have a wood burning pizza tonight. Celebrities are wild. My friend has been watching a lot of Architectural Digest and has been trying to get me on the Architectural Digest trip because, like, a lot of celebrity homes are super tacky, but, like, it doesn't make me feel any better to know that these people have so much money and no taste. And, you know, money can't buy you class, as a wise woman once said. But I don't know. I just don't get any joy, like, seeing how these rich people, like, throw away their money.
Isn't that the joy, though?
No, because I would, like, if you're throwing away your money, just, I don't know, do something good with it. Not to be all, like, noble, but at least, like, decorate your house, like, in a well-appointed way. But all these people are like, here's my ugly home. All my expensive stuff. I just want real.
Here's everything that's completely out of scale with everything.
Right. It's like, here's my massive, right, everything's so big. Like, every celebrity has to have, like, a big fucking horse chess piece somewhere in their house, you know what I mean, like a sculpture. That's what I think of when I think of celebrity art. Like, is there one store that sells them and they're all like, we have to have one?
Yeah, and there's always like a like, instead of just like a bar cart, it's always just like this tacky big bar.
Yeah, they all have like bars.
It's like the Borgata. Yeah. You're just like, excuse me.
It's a real, like, Real Housewives of, you watch Jersey Housewives or no?
No.
Why?
That's the only one I do not.
Really?
I don't like Teresa. Unpopular opinion.
I mean, no one likes Teresa, but she's fun to watch.
I feel like it's, like, super weird how, like, the narrative around Teresa was that she's the victim of, like, a federal crime. Like, it's not like she, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's not like she was, like, unjustly put in jail. Like, there was a lot of things that went into it.
Yeah, like her doing tax evasion and mortgage fraud. The best thing about Teresa is that even after years in jail, or a year in jail, like her husband, like, going to jail for 4 years and then being deported, and just all of that being documented on television, her narrative is still like, you know, sometimes bad things happen to people. I'll never know why this happened to me. Like, she's like, just God just gives you what you can handle. It's like, no, like, you did tax fraud. Like, you, like, committed a crime. She's like, just, you know, just this landed on my shoulders and I had to deal with it.
Yeah, it was like she got, like, pooped on by a bird. Like, yeah. Oh shit. Yeah. Like, my wire fraud.
Right, exactly.
Just happened.
This is so random. It could have happened to anybody. It's like, yeah, anybody who evades their taxes, this could have happened to. Correct.
This is why I appreciate Luann's frankness when she's just like, yeah, I completely biffed up. I slipped out of my handcuffs. I told a police officer I was going to kill him in the middle of Palm Beach. And
simpler times.
So great.
I do love New York. I hold a special place in Jersey because, on the subject of Architectural Digest videos, the first season of Jersey, I feel like you just have to watch it for the, like, horrible architecture. Like, they all are, like, in this, like, kind of right before, right after the crash, like, houses they can't afford with kitchens that have, like, olive wallpaper. You know, like, those, like, Italian, like mangia, yeah, like, on the wallpaper. And that's, like, all of their houses. And everything's, like, blonde wood. And they're all wearing, like, these jewel-toned satin bubble dresses. And sometimes it just feels like home to watch the early season Jersey. Like, simple things. And Teresa's like, I want new bubbies and my husband's an ass guy. That's like an entire episode. I can't believe you don't
watch.
Well,
wouldn't you? I mean, I don't know. I see finding comfort in a macaroni grill. Like, I get
that. Right. Like a California pizza kitchen. Like, you know, like, you get this, you know what it's going to taste like. I mean, it's right. California pizza is a little elevated, but when I used to drive to college, I would, like, stop at McDonald's and get, like, the same order. And, like, that, mm-hmm. and it's just, you, the anticipation is just really great. It's, like,
I just mean,
constants.
Like, the aesthetic isn't, I mean, what you described, I feel like, sounds like a macaroni grill.
I've never been to a macaroni grill. Yeah, well, I'm not very cultured.
You can't go now.
Yeah, no, I will actually probably never go to a macaroni grill. What is it?
Could you imagine?
I thought you meant, like, watching New Jersey is, like, the equivalent of going to a restaurant where all the food tastes all the same all the time. But you were talking about the actual manja aesthetic of the macaroni grill.
Like, it's like a, it's, how do I explain it? It's like a nice Olive Garden.
Called the macaroni grill?
Called the macaroni
grill,
yes.
Is it just pasta?
It's Italian.
Okay.
And then, like, all the dishes, I believe, are in some kind of Italian English faux Italian. And there's like, and there's like weird like olive, there's like weird like everything's just like
olive on the wall.
Yeah, it's like someone Googled up like Sicily. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, this is what it looks like.
Yeah. And I'm thinking of those like tall, like olive oil, like the mm-hmm. the kind of carrier that has like the big carafe of olive oil and then the carafe of balsamic vinegar.
Yeah. And then they have like a giant, like, you're like, would you like some fresh pepper? Right. And they like pull out this like gigantic, like yeah, two story like, pepper mill.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I'm like, manja.
Yeah, manja.
Manja.
You should go when coronavirus.
The first thing I do will be to go to Macaroni Grill. Do they have them in California? You're a California native.
Yes, they have so many.
Okay, great. Yeah,
I lived at a Macaroni Grill, basically. To be fair, yeah. Like I haven't kept up with all the businesses that have shut down and like
too depressing.
Not shut down. So Macaroni Grill just stopped. If coronavirus killed. Or millennials killed the Macaroni Grill, I'd be very sad.
I mean, if the Macaroni Grill is the worst thing our generation takes down, I'll consider us lucky.
We already got rid of Applebee's.
We got rid of Applebee's and grandchildren, apparently. That was like the last one. It was like, millennials are killing the idea of grandchildren. It's like, the world is literally on fire. Who is having kids?
So, like, my sister...
Yeah, your sister has a million kids.
Oh, she has one.
Oh, I thought you had like three.
Oh, no, I have another. My sister-in-law has two.
Well, that would also be your brother. Yeah, okay.
But like,
still your family.
I don't want to give him credit. She's the one who gave birth.
That's true.
But my sister just gave birth in June 22nd, wow. Right in the middle of the pandemic.
And she's in New York, right?
Yeah. So she got... She got pregnant right, like, way before this thing really reared its head.
Yeah, for sure.
And this whole, like, I don't think people talk enough about, like, how hard it is to, like, how are you going to, like, a lactation consultant and, like, be, and, like, and also, like, paternity leave. Even if you have paternity leave, like, you're at home, like, when you go back to paternity leave or when her husband goes back, they're working all in the same, like, apartment. And it's, like, he's going insane, she's going insane, and then it's just like there's no help, that you can't, your friends can't visit you, like all the stuff that's, it's like hard enough being a mom, but then it's like all the stuff that comes with being a mom is difficult. Yeah. And it's just like in the middle of a pandemic, and I'm just like, woo.
Yeah. And we and the country cares so little about like moms and kids. Like there's been no like national conversation about childcare. Like it's like whenever people are like, "Oh, do you think you'll have kids?" I'm like, "So you're telling me like my mental health state currently mm-hmm. hardly mm-hmm. able to take care of myself. You want me to now birth a child and be 1,000% responsible?" I know.
Yeah.
not right now. Check back later. And no, it's wild. And right, like what is paternity leave and what is maternity leave if everyone's in their house all the time and no one can either help you or help your child or help. Yeah, it doesn't. No. No.
Yeah, for me to go help with dishes or like help like babysit, I have to like quarantine myself, and it's just like
nightmare,
and it's completely difficult. Like there, it's like, and like breastfeeding's hard, and you can't like lactation consult over Zoom. Mm-hmm. Like, could you imagine like being like pointing at all
right? Your parents, also, like how are they really helping you? They're like, this is the nipple. You're like, no, I got it. Yeah. I know that one. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. There's it's really hard.
But and it's so yeah, probably not a good idea to have kids right this second.
We're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. Alex, do you wanna tell everybody our story of our first date?
Yeah. We go and see Little Women, and right as the lights go down, and I'm like, hey, I've never seen Little Women before. I've never read Little Women.
I know nothing about Little Women.
I do not know anything about them. And you look at me, and you're just like, and I was like, okay, here we go, buckle up, mm-hmm. it's time. And then Yeah. And it was an excellent film.
Well, at the big, what you're missing is the best part, which is at the big reveal, which, you know, anyone who has read or seen the 1996 version of Little Women as many times as I had, and I think that's a lot of people, it definitely was everyone I knew except for Alex when the lights went down in that theater. When Lori tells Joe, you know, like, I'm marrying your sister, the gasp that Alex emitted, like, hit like a full body shriek is how I would describe it. And then I remember, like, oh yeah, you know nothing about this. Like, this is totally unexpected. And it was so funny.
And I was like, but she put the letter in the box. Yeah. She put the letter in the box and you can't read the letter.
I highly recommend watching a movie where you know the story so well that, like, you're really just watching for, like, the art and, like, Greta Gerwig's sort of, like, take and, you know, Saoirse Ronan. Yeah. I called her Saoirse Ronan.
I think if you just, like, get...
If
like,
I just
yeah,
go, like, Yeah, you're just, like, watching for her kind of portrayal of Joe. Meanwhile, Alex is, like, never... Does not even know the story of Little Women. So, like, everything that happens, he was, like... it's really funny. Like, what? Oh my gosh, it was a joy to see
it was
that
a,
with you.
It was a guttural reaction.
Guttural is, yes, that's the right word. Alex, I invited you here today because we don't talk a lot about skincare on this podcast because my opinion is that skincare is, like, really specific to people, and like the last thing I want to do is like too often be like, oh, this thing is a thing that, like, everyone needs. Mm-hmm. But no one, but, like, we all also, there's also a lot of back channel conversations about, like, people's partners' skincare, notably men. And I was trying to think, I'm like, well, if we did, like, a men skincare specific episode, who would be qualified to talk about it? And I was like, oh, it's Alex, obviously. And it reminded me of that because the other day you did, like, a 10 thread tweet about men's skincare. And I was just like, let's just come on the show. So I'll preface this by saying a story that I think I told on one episode of this before. Is when I worked at BuzzFeed, I worked with somebody who let it slip that when they were on air for different BuzzFeed programming and they had to wear makeup, you know, you have to, like, put on a little concealer and foundation and powder to erase oil, they would come off the set, take the soap that was in the dispenser in the BuzzFeed, the face you're making right now is exactly our, talk about the scream that I, the guttural reaction that I let out, take the soap from the dispenser, rub it on their face and wash their face and be done with it. And I almost vomited. Because, you know, the soap is fine for your hands, but you're not putting it, you don't want to put it on your face. And I realized a lot of men not only don't know that much about skincare, but kind of, like, take pride in being like, I rub a bar of soap on my face and, like, that's all I need. So where do men who wash their faces with corporate soap, where do they start? Like, tell me, like, where your skincare journey began. I just want to know like, everything.
I mean, everyone has those, like, anecdotes and, like, urban legends of, like, my boyfriend washes his face with gasoline right. and he has perfect skin.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think in general, guys probably have it easier in that society doesn't hate us and we don't have to put on tons of makeup to be, like, presentable. It's just like, oh, we can walk around with, like, no one has ever made us feel bad for under-eye bags or, like, forehead wrinkles or smile lines.
Yeah.
So it's just like, there's, like, not a lot of stuff that we're putting on our faces. So, I mean, I think that probably explains, like, oh, well, that's why his, like, it's like clear skin, of course, because you're not putting on foundation. You're not putting on all these things.
Mm.
But, like, my poor dad just has, like, the driest skin possible because they don't put on moisturizer, they don't put on sunscreen, and it's just like all these, like, basic steps, and there's, like, a whole entire industry and, like, to make men feel better or make men feel comfortable with putting stuff on their faces. It's just like Kiehl's as a whole, like, men's line.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, blue, all the liquids blue, and it's
gotta
just,
be,
like,
blue because blue is for boys.
It's not called moisturizer. It's called facial fuel.
So it really is gasoline.
I mean, it's like that face imagery. Gas.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it is just like this weird, like, it's another way of like performative masculinity of like, I'm tougher than skincare. But it's like skincare makes your skin feel great. And I don't know why. I mean, I think you see it like in, or if you look in like Asia, I did this story like a couple years back about like, well, it's the death of like Korean skincare, but like Korean skincare is like where kind of like the Mecca was.
Yeah.
The epicenter. And it just kind of all flooded out. So, but there, it's just like, there's not as much like hang up. It's just like, you have men there, just there's no like weird social construct where it's like it's not unmanly, it's not like fellas, like,
is it gay to wash your face?
Yeah. I don't know, I guess like, and what I did when I made that thread, it was just like all these people were asking me, because I was like, hey, there's this giant sale at Nordstrom,
right,
which is stuck up,
mm-hmm,
which is like, it's as good an excuse as any, because like everything, like with the way, one, who doesn't love Nordstrom?
Right. Who doesn't?
Who doesn't love the comfort of a Nordstrom?
Yeah.
Two, there's like actually really good stuff there that is on sale. And so I was like, okay, you should buy all these things. And I don't know, where should we start with the things that you buy?
Well, I wanted to ask you if you thought that the like masculinity sort of hang up around skincare in America is like a direct correlation also to the weird like men don't wear masks thing here. Because in Korea and like in most Asian countries, I feel like masks are sort of like a very normal way to kind of like take care of yourself and your community. Like, it's not weird to be like, oh, I have a cough, like I'm gonna wear a mask because I have a cough. Whereas in America, we like to just like hack phlegm all over each other because our dicks are so big and swinging. But do you think so? But when I've talked to my friends who like don't live in America, and some of I would talk to my friend who lives in Beijing, in China, she was like, I can't like believe that you guys have managed to turn wearing a mask during a global health crisis into like real men get coronavirus. Do you feel like that is like a like kind of an exacerbation of like how men think about washing their faces also? Just on a scale that affects more people.
I actually wrote about this, and I talked to a couple of researchers, and they were saying, and there's like this theory called it's called precarious masculinity. And the idea is that it's so easy to lose masculinity, and it's so easy to like to feel slighted, that men and people who identify as masculine or like want those traits or like feel like those traits they have to live up to, they will double down on like risky and harmful behavior to prove that, get that masculinity back. And so what happened with the virus was that, oh yeah, people were dying and you had to wear a mask, and then, well, the mask was like the easiest thing to not wear to show that you're tough.
Wild.
And then that, and so, but yeah, going back to skincare, I think that there is a, yeah, there's a sense that like, this is girly, this affects my masculinity, so let's double down and not do it.
It's wild.
And then therefore it's manlier. Or we have to buy products that are specifically made for men, and it's all like this, like in dark packaging and like
and facial fuel,
and facial fuel,
facial gasoline.
And it shouldn't be like that.
Of course, I don't think it shouldn't. It should be. No.
And it's like, it's just like everyone has skin. is looking young and nice. Terrible? No, it's pretty great.
It also just shows the insane, you know, you talked about earlier, like, yeah, like women from early on, it's like they're like told to buy all this stuff as tools to like cover up what they actually look like. Whereas men are never threatened with that. Like, it's always just like looking like not like looking like shit, because I that holds people to a different standard too. But it's like for men, it's like it's worse to try to look better, whereas for women, it's necessary.
Well, I mean, women are stuck in the trap that like even if you check all the boxes and do all the steps, it was like, well, why did you have to work so hard to do it?
Right. It's like, well, it's like, not really you. I mean, you're just you've like worked on and you're wearing makeup.
Yeah. And like the skincare idea is just like when people make fun of skincare, there was like this whole discourse like a couple years ago of just like skincare doesn't work. It just felt like another way of policing the way like it's just like society tells women to dress, have this perfect skin. When women actually take the steps to have that perfect skin or take any step towards that, it's just like, then society's like, why are you doing that?
Right. We can't
why
win.
Why the fuck are you doing that?
Right. It's great. It's a really, it's fun. It's fun being a woman. I also think that this is a very like cis hetero male thing, because I feel like all of my gay male friends or trans man friends or like non-binary presenting more masculine friends like have a skincare game on lock, and then you have like the straight guys who are like the straight cis guys who are like, yeah, no, like just the soap, any dial soap, I just rub it in my eyes, it's fine. But
then I've heard of like the the stories from like women whose partners like they will start using like the $1,000 La Mer bottle and be like, hey, this is great stuff. and they'll like be like, oh my god, what did you do?
Just no. Gobbing up like $400 cream and like slather. Like, I love this stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's great.
This stuff is awesome.
This stuff's so good. I can't say that I think Dan has a skincare routine, though he does wash his face, but it's like with the, you know, whatever I supply in the bathroom too, it's like Cetaphil or like is it Cerave or Cerave? It's, you know what I'm talking about.
I think it's CeraVe.
Yeah. A gentle cleanser for the face. That's really funny. I imagine that it's a double-edged sword. It's like you want your partner to like take care of their skin, but like not with the stuff that you bought.
You have to lock it in a fridge.
Yeah, right, in your skincare fridge, which Meredith Haggerty, your editor, actually talked about on this show. So what do you use? Like, what is your? You have great skin. I know you're getting really close to the camera. I know you do have great skin. Do you kind of? And I know that you kind of like to preach the gospel to people. Have you gotten anyone on the skincare train that wasn't on it previously before?
Yes, I got my roommate on it. I don't know. People will like be like, it's just like after I did that thread, I got like 4 or 5 DMs of like, what do I do?
Really?
And I think there's like a couple of things that you keep in mind. Like I think the most important thing that I learned is it doesn't need to burn or hurt. Skincare doesn't need to burn or hurt.
You should get that on bumper stickers and sell them. It doesn't need to burn or hurt.
Or like booty shorts.
Yeah, you should be making athleisure at this point. So yeah. Is there do you find that people are really at a baseline where they're like, so moisturizer, you know, like what do I do? Like sunscreen. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So where do you start with people?
So I think like with the burn or hurt part, it's just like when we were teens, we had that St. Ives scrub that won all these awards, and it was like rubbing gravel on your face. And your face would be so raw, and you'd be like, look, Ma.
Right. Also, our perfect teen skin, like pre-acne, I was like rubbing that shit. I was taking off layers down to like raw bone, being like, hell yeah. Yeah, what the fuck?
Or Stridex pads that would like sting the F out of your face.
I still kind of like Stridex pads. So. They do help with acne. Like if you do have like, like topical, like sometimes I get cystic acne sometimes, but Stridex pads do work. But I also know that like you should like really limit the amount of alcohol you're putting on your face because it dries it out.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think like, so yeah, with the basics, I feel like just a gentle, like everyone's like a gentle cleanser, but like get a cleanser that like works for you. Like
what does that mean? What does that mean?
So you don't want your face to feel super tight, super dry. Or like after you wash your face, like you don't want it to feel like you were super abrasive to your face.
Yes.
So in the and now skincare or a lot of skin companies put like the pH levels, and so it's like you want something around like the pH of water. I have to Google what that is, but okay. It's nothing. It's like right in the middle. You want it like you don't want it to be too harsh or too basic.
Okay.
Too basic.
Don't be basic.
And so I don't know. I guess the one I use is the Indie Lead. I like it because it smells like tomatoes and strawberry
together.
It smells really good.
All right, I'm looking it's tomato and strawberry. It's Indie Lee.
Yeah, it's so good.
I'm looking for your thread right now, just so I can like ask you questions about it.
That works for me. But yeah, anything gentle. People also really like the soy cleanser from Fresh.
I actually really like the soy cleanser from Fresh. Fresh is great. Don't sleep on Fresh.
And so I think the thing that they have in common is that it's not harsh, and it's like it doesn't strip.
Yeah,
it doesn't strip your beautiful face.
Well, if you're just starting out, then if you're like a 35-year-old male who like has never really done anything beyond like soap and water and like maybe a Cetaphil, like I don't know, and you're also sort of like, you know, because I imagine there are a lot of men out there who like understand that washing your face isn't feminine or homosexual. Mm-hmm. But also being like, okay, but for 35 years, that's all anyone kind of, that was like the messaging I got. So like, you know, I'm a little intimidated to walk into a store and like ask, or like, because there's probably a dueling, knowing how it feels to be a woman, there's probably like a dueling thing internally where it's like, I know that it's fine, but also I don't want to walk in and be like, totally out myself as somebody who hasn't been doing anything with their skin for 35 years. So like, if the women or the partners of these noobs are responsible, like for getting, I don't know, like sometimes it's just about like you said, sort of, if you put it in the bathroom, it will get used. So how do you kind of like stealthily, like what are good, like, I don't know, not generic, but like can help a spectrum of people. Cause like, I feel like it has, you know, change has to start at home. I feel like I couldn't send Dan to the store to get like skincare and expect him to know like what to ask. So like if I was doing, I don't know, if I wanted to stock my shelves with something for like, I don't know, facial fuel, like what would you get that's like, okay, this is basically like a safe bet.
So the easiest test is get Cetaphil.
Okay.
Which is just like,
soap.
It's just the gentlest little cleanse. Wash your face with it, or wash his face with it.
Well, he can do that himself. I'm not doing. I mean, I draw the line.
That's right.
What did you say? Sorry, say that again.
So you wash your face and wait for 20 minutes.
Okay.
If his skin feels like super dry, then he has dry skin. If it gets oily, he has oily skin.
I didn't know.
And dry meaning like tight.
Yeah.
And then from there, you can kind of go like stuff that is like lighter. If you have oily skin, people tend to go with like lighter stuff because it doesn't get greasy because you already have a natural oil and dew. And then dry people kind of go for more intense moisture. And so that's a little bit.
So that's the test.
That's the test.
I don't think I even knew that.
And then that's how you can tell. Because I think a lot of people are like, well, I don't know what kind of skin I have. And usually it's like one of those. And then if it's like normal, then he's blessed by the gods. And
yeah, what is normal skin? I don't even know what normal skin is.
I don't know either. Mm-hmm. I always feel like people tend to skew one way or the other.
Okay.
But I guess if it doesn't feel tight and it doesn't get oily, then you're blessed. And just like be like, thank you. Thank you to my gods and goddesses for giving me this great skin.
Are we looking just in the T-zone area? I feel like I'm in 17 magazine. Are we looking just in the T-zone area, or are we also just a full face?
I tend to feel it in my cheeks. I have dry skin. I tend to feel it in my cheeks and forehead. But like people's T-zones tend to be a little oilier. What I hear, but. And all my favorite YouTubers were always like, my T-zone's so oily. I have combination skin because my T-zone.
Okay,
and,
isn't combination skin kind of like a scam though?
I don't know.
That's like saying I like all music except for country. That's too hard for me.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's so personal that, like, you can, I feel like people, once you know, like, which way it tends to be, then it's just, like, trial and error. And it's just, like, there's so many resources online, like, there's Reddit forums and whatnot, that, like, the minute you get, like, once you kind of, you could, like, spend hours and hours. And people love, like, helping online, because it's just, like, there's this whole community of people that, like, want holy grails and, like, what works for you, what doesn't work for you.
Right.
But I guess from there, I think one of the things that people, one of the things that has come into wide use now, and what you see on shelves, aside from the hyaluronic acid that Evelyn Corey talked about, is this thing called Essence, and that's my favorite thing. That's like my the one thing I would be like, please just add this.
What is it?
So usually it's like, it's from Korea, and from Korean skincare, it's like fermented water, or like water with nutrients in it.
Okay.
Very expensive sometimes.
I mean, that's the thing, is like, I'm sure La Mer is great. I can't start, but I can't start like a $400 like moisturizer routine. So like, is Essence like, is that, I'm Googling it right now.
So SK2 has this one that's like a hundred, it's like, I don't know. They like squeeze the baby Jesus, and like the water comes out and it gives you perfect like Kate Blanchett skin. There's always dupes, and then I would just like go by like the ratings. Like, I trust Korean skincare more than, that's where I tend to do it. That's where all this stuff came from, and so I'm like, okay, well, there's also like Soko Glam, which is a site that, a Korean skincare site that can teach you about them.
Yeah,
but you can get them for like 40, like. They don't have to be SK2.
But what is it?
But it's, so it's just like fermented water with nutrients in it. And you splash it on your face. Oh my God. Do not roll your eyes.
I'm not rolling. Well, okay.
It's a secret.
I'm just, I just, this is seems, where does it go? Okay. You, okay. Go ahead. Then I'll ask my questions. I have a lot.
You like pat it on your face. And then let it dry. And then you start putting in your moisturizer, serum, and sunscreen.
You do your sunscreen last?
Always. Yes. Always wear sunscreen, even when you're like inside.
No, I know that one. I know that one. I know. I know about sunscreen. I've heard of it. I'm looking at the, I'm looking at Soko Glam right now, and I'm looking at the Then I Met You.
Yeah.
It's called the Giving Essence. Which is like, there's a restaurant in LA that Dory and Kate took me to when I first moved here. And you have to order your salad. All the salads are called like, I am beautiful, or like, I am strong. So I, and they like, so I was like, I am beautiful. It's like ordering in affirmations. And I was like, I feel like it, it was also, it was great food, but I also feel like they kind of did it to troll me, because I was like so uncomfortable.
Yeah. I can't think of anything more uncomfortable than being like, I am strong.
Yeah. Like, I am strong, extra avocado. but this is called the Giving Essence, which is reminding me of that. But like, but all of the language about it is like, elevate your essence step. That means nothing to me. So like, if I already have a skincare routine that's like down pat, and there's like you know, I use like Sunday Riley, Good Jeans, and I have liquid collagen, and I do like this whole thing. Like, if I'm introducing essence, like, A, do I need to, B, will it throw off the rest of the stuff that I use? C, do I need to consult someone for my specific skin? Like, I don't, I'm very scared of this kind of stuff.
In plain English, it's just fancy water. Some kind of fancy water, but I feel like there's magic in it.
Okay.
I do. I cannot explain it.
I mean, your skin looks great.
There's magic.
Okay.
People are always surprised when I'm saying like 37.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you're kind of,
I'm a secret old,
tricking me into saying so. But yeah, when you told me how old you were, I was a little shocked.
People gasped.
I thought you were 27. Maybe.
Yeah. Well.
Because I was talking to you, so like you were an idiot. So I thought you were younger than me.
Well, I didn't see Little Women, right?
That's true. You are an idiot. So, yeah, I mean, your skin looks great, but I'm still stuck on fancy water for $50. This is where I become a straight cis man, where I'm like, really? Because the stuff at work is great.
Well, the thing is like, it just, basically everything that you washed off, all those oils mm-hmm. that you washed off with your face, it kind of puts that hydration back into your face before you start everything else. If you want something that's more science-backed, because I can't tell you, like, I just feel like I added that. I went with the crowd with and jumped into Korean skincare and just completely was just like, yes, this works. I can't explain why it works. I don't know why it works, but fermented water on my face after I wash works. Okay. And when I did my article on skincare, I talked to dermatologists, and one of the things they told me is that vitamin C, this is science-based, vitamin C is actually one of the things that'll brighten your skin. So if you have it, like, scientifically proven to brighten your skin, there were trials, I can send you the trial, mm-hmm. and it's just like, if you're going to add something to your skin care routine, or his skincare routine, between moisturizer and sunscreen, put vitamin C.
So that's like a good gateway drug, would we say?
Yes. And it's scientifically proven. It's not some loony fancy water. And you don't have to spend like $10,000 on it.
Yeah, vitamin C, I feel like that's the hyaluronic acid. If 2020 wasn't such a like weird year for commerce, I feel like vitamin C would have been the hyaluronic acid of 2020. Where like every product you see now, from like the generic to the really high end, is like, and it has vitamin C in it, or like, and there's vitamin C drops.
Yeah. Well, that's the crazy part, is that this whole hyaluronic acid kick came from Western brands copying Korean brands.
Right.
Like, they were like, okay, well, Korean skincare, figure this, like, the industry there is so much more diverse and robust than what it was here. And so you had, like, all of a sudden, like, it was like Garnier was like, oh, yeah, try this thing that's just, like, the Korean stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, Eva Longoria's company was just like, let's try this thing, hyaluronic acid, which Koreans have been using for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I think, like, yeah, if you want to, like, the culturally, like, the whole idea there in Korea is that there's like less colored or found like color makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they call it, color makeup? But it,
like, pigmented.
Basically it's just like there's this like very light, there's not as much foundation usage there. They don't have like the big glam face.
Okay.
And so a lot of their stuff is targeted towards like natural skin,
just like it's clean, more like, face.
Yeah, it's more like Glossier. Like mm-hmm. Glossier, that was like a subtle hint of and suggestion from another room of coverage.
Yeah.
And so a lot of Korean, a lot of like that culture, beauty culture there, is more directed towards like making skin look nice and youthful, hydrated, plump. And so I think that's when that came over here, Western mm-hmm. brands started copying that.
So interesting.
Oh my God, sorry.
No. It's so interesting. We're going to take a quick break, but I want to add on to that. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, we're back. That's so interesting you say that, because I really do remember the shift from like makeup to like now skincare and like, you know, just a little bit of eyebrow and a tiny bit of mascara, and then the rest you're focusing on like the health of your skin rather than like covering up. It's a little elitist, because not everyone has like an amazing mm-hmm. makeup free face, myself included, and like I mean that in the society sense. So even if I'm doing like the big skincare routine, there are still dark mm-hmm. circles under my eyes, and magazines will still yell at me about that. But like but in a pandemic where like I'm not wearing any makeup at all. And no one is, I hope, because we're all at home all day. I mean, it feels like skincare is having like a little bit more of an elongated boom just because it's really, it's something you can do at home and perfect. And you can try stuff that, like, you know, requires you to like stay out of the sun for 24 hours. And it's like, no problem. I'm not going outside. Or no one's going to see me, or like, I can try this. And if my skin has a bad reaction to it, like, no harm, no foul. I don't have a birthday party to go to tonight. So it's interesting that, like, you know, people are really embracing, I think, in like a real way and not like a, oh my God, these celebrities aren't wearing makeup way, just like what they look like. My skin,
yeah, I think that
has never been better in quarantine just because I'm not piling on makeup on it all the time.
And no one's going in the sun that much. Mm-hmm. Well, no one's supposed to.
True. Well, on your side of the country anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at Instagram, like...
Right.
I don't know if everyone's keeping in line with all that. But yeah, I do think that there's like the shift in beauty during the pandemic is probably towards more skincare, because it's just like, you don't need a foundation match, you don't need, or it's like, you can't smell perfumes. The other thing, that's the other big tip is, sorry I got on a tangent, but like, try not to find stuff with fragrance in it,
because
that's usually where people, like, that's like the big thing in skincare was that Rihanna came out with this whole line of skincare, but it's all fragrance. And people are very upset with it because they're just like, well, my skin doesn't react good with fragrance and I can't use that.
How quickly the tide turns, because it feels like it was less, and it was less than 20 years ago, Jessica Simpson was like, this shit smells like cotton candy, rub it on your face. And I was like, okay, sure, I'll do it.
Oh, I will totally be, I'm like very into the smelling like a dessert, like my whole entire, like, one of the only places during the pandemic that had soap or hand soap was Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah.
No, not Bed Bath & Beyond.
Bath & Body Works. Same thing in my
and
head.
I was like, I was like, warm vanilla sugar, here we go. Six for $24.
Yeah. It does smell good. You do smell like a baby prostitute.
like a cookie.
Yeah.
Whatever. Whoever said whiskey is liquid courage has never smelled Bath & Body Works warm vanilla sugar.
It's really, it's just, someone did like a tweet thread, I don't know, at some point in my lifetime. Could have been like 2 weeks ago, but also could have been like 3 years ago. But it was like, what Bath & Body Works scent like brings you back. And for me, it was this scent called Midnight Path, which was like, when I put it on when I was going to the club in college and I wanted to feel like a big slut, it was like so sexy. It was like sexy Bath and Body Works. But a lot of people said the cucumber melon and like plumeria, which I feel like are the OGs.
Yeah.
Warm vanilla sugar is a lot.
It's also like plumeria and cucumber melon were like the sharks and the jets.
Yes. It was like, one or the other.
Yeah. It was like the girls who smelled like wildflowers, or the girls who smelled like a sweet salad.
It's really true. I did really love anything that smelled like cotton candy, though. Like, I would go to Claire's and be like, ooh, like a glitter body spray. Remember glitter body spray?
Yeah.
I would be like, well, yes, I'm sexy.
Men had bod. Do you remember the bod?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't the bottle like a really chiseled dude?
Yeah. Well,
fun.
It was like, yeah. It had many iterations, but it was just like, I want to smell your bod, was like the whole entire commercial. It was fun.
Yikes.
It was a very homosexual commercial because it was just abs, like lots of abs.
Was that your big sexual awakening?
That and like a Bowflex commercial, probably.
Honestly, same. Who didn't love, like, or like Tybo with Billy Blank?
Yeah.
So it was the Bowflex commercial that turned you gay, as they say.
Yeah.
Is that when you made the choice?
Well, it was just like, wow, I kind of want a Bowflex.
This is mom.
Like, I was like 9, and like, yeah.
Do you
between
feel like
that and like American Gladiators? Yeah. I was just like, yeah, I think I want a check. Like,
Do you feel like you're living out your do you feel like you're living out your Bowflex dreams with a Peloton in your house?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Like, the Peloton is nice.
Yeah.
I like it. I think for a lot of people, like, the pandemic is just like, well, you don't eat out anymore. You don't pay for your gym anymore. Well, you shouldn't be paying for your gym anymore. It's like all your finances are kind of consolidated into, like, I don't know, staying alive.
Yep.
But it's like all the stuff that you were spending on before, a lot of those things, like drinks out and like restaurants out, like that's cut out. My vacation was ahead of vacation. Yeah. And so it was just like, one of the things I like to do is work out. So I guess the Peloton was a natural $2,000 buy for me.
Well, of course. I mean, you do work out. I remember I texted you sometime in April and I was like, I'm getting a Peloton. And then like I never said anything about it again because I didn't get one. And I was like, because I'm not like, if I have not gotten into like the, I just don't love working out. I know it's horrible. I probably should find something that I like, but I don't think I need to buy the $2,000 bike to like check and see if like maybe I do like working out because I know how this story goes. But I remember when Peloton came out and I was like, this is so crazy. Like, you buy the bike and it goes in your house. And I seemingly forgot that my parents owned like a Nordic Track and like a Stairmaster. Like, this isn't new. It's just like another piece of equipment. But like, there are treadmills in people's houses. I don't know why I thought the Peloton was so weird.
I think it's weird in that like spinning became this giant boom. Like, yeah. Soul Cycle.
I love Soul Cycle.
And then so after that, like, I think that kind of brought it mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And so it had a resurgence and people were like, yeah, let's take it home.
Take it home. And then also you pay for the joy of taking the class.
You pay for someone to tell you like, you're a queen, adjust your crown. Like,
is that what they say?
Well, my favorite instructor, that's what she tells me.
Oh, she says, that's nice.
She says, male, female, and non-binary queens, oh, we adjust each other's crowns. And I'm like, yes, I do. I will.
That's nice.
I will. And then it's just like, oh, I don't know. I kind of feel like as this rolls on,
yeah,
we don't know when we're going back to the gym.
I haven't been to the gym in so long. I'll probably never go back, pandemic or not. So I get I get that you were, you know, I know that you were a Barry's boot camp regular.
But it's just like, it's like, even if it does open up,
are you willing to risk
your health to like get some abs? And it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I feel safe. I don't know if anyone else feels safe.
Right. No one misses Las Vegas more than I do, and I know that it's open right now, but I also know that I'm not going back until I've been vaccinated multiple times.
Did you hear that gasp? I love Las Vegas too.
Really? I love Vegas.
Vegas is my favorite because 2 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the morning can be like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I never know.
You know, before I went for the first time, and it was I've been twice. I went once. So I will say that my first Vegas experience was like really great in that my company paid for me to go. It was when I was at BuzzFeed and I had to go because we were doing something like during CES. But I basically didn't have to do, like, I was there for like a real day of work, but then we had to do all these like different, you know, like show up to this and have drinks and schmooze or whatever. But like other times I was on my own. So it's a lot different when the company's paying for your hotel room and like all of your food. Like, it's a lot more fun that way.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys know this. it's a lot of fun when someone else is bankrolling your trip. But like, that was my first time there and everyone was like, oh, you're going to hate it. It's like, it's loud and it's like a mall. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to hate it. And then I walked in and I was like, wait, this fucking rules. And I also thought that I was like too good to be conned by like the Vegas like loss of time mentally. I'm not too good for that. I had no idea what time it was ever. I was doing the slots at like 7:30 a.m. You never know. Like, you don't know where you are. I was like high. I was on drugs. Not on work hours, but
you were like, why not like a vodka tonic at 8 a.m.
Yeah, as someone who doesn't drink, I was like, and I have a margarita and it's like six o'clock in the morning. The second time I don't drink, and when I'm in Vegas, I get it now. I like was the personification of like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Like I went to celebrate my 32nd birthday last year with my friend for her, and it was her birthday. So we went together because we both love Vegas. We stayed up all night. Like I don't stay up all night at all. Like we went to bed at like 8 a.m. and I was like, oh, like how come I feel so sick? Like how come I feel so awful? And it was because I'd been up for like 17 hours playing craps at the table with like a bunch of people who were smoking in my face. And I was like, wow, I can't believe how sick I feel. But we had plans to go again this November. And obviously I'm not going to go, but like I'm really tempted. I miss it a lot, but I know that like a casino where most people who don't go don't care about coronavirus, and also where the air circulates 24/7 and that's like a big selling point, is probably not where I should be right now. But I still want to be there.
I mean, you could do like a pool party.
No, I'm there to gamble.
Oh.
Do you love to gamble? Like, why do you love Vegas?
I like to gamble, but I love like a slot machine.
Yeah, no, no. I mean, when I say gamble, I mean like the Sex and the City slot, I think is like the best thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, no. The Wheel of Fortune slot.
Really?
The what? When you get like the match and then the little thing spins and it tells you like how many dollars you're going to win. Nothing brings me more joy than the Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, have you ever played Sex in the City, though?
No.
Okay.
Maybe I will next time.
I think you and I should meet there. after I get several, I'm going to do one vaccine. I'm going to literally walk into Vegas with two needles sticking into both sides of my arm with the coronavirus vaccine, just like on a drip.
I'll bring the Lysol wipes.
Yeah.
I
just want to bleach myself. I'm going to also roll in with one of those plastic hamster bubbles where like no one can touch me. And I'm just going to like, hi. The Sex and the City slot is so much fun. They have it at the Cosmopolitan, obviously, which is where I stayed the first time. And I was playing and I was like, I'm not addicted. And then suddenly it's been like 3 hours, but it's really fun. You pick your character. They say iconic quotes from the show. I love shoes. Like that's all you hear. It's like, I'm a lawyer. It's very funny. And Samantha's like, oh, I love like blowjobs. And then I always chose Mr. Big once I won the jackpot.
How much was the jackpot?
It was $760 or something. I mean, I don't want to tell you how much I spent to get there, but it was good. It was a really good night. And then when I started losing, I was like, this isn't fair. I hate Vegas.
I was like, maybe the next one, double or nothing. You're like, fuck, I lost my house.
Yeah, right. I'm not addicted, and I'm like writing off like mortgage refinancing. I'm like selling my car to keep playing Sex in the City.
But yeah. you're like turning your credit cards into cash.
Yeah. I'm doing like the cash advance.
So give me the cash advance.
With like a 25% APR. So would you say that we're so off topic now. Would you say your recommendation is like Essence if you want to try it, but vitamin C?
Essence will make your skin feel really nice.
Okay.
Get a good one. I can send you a list, but like Misha or Primera are pretty reasonable. Try it for like a little bit. Get a mini size.
Oh, what's a little bit? Like how long does it take to see some like results?
I mean, they say like 3 weeks.
Okay.
It's like that's the college try. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you can start feeling it immediately. Like I had dry skin, I started using it and I was like, wow, my skin feels a lot better. But yeah, vitamin C. Stick vitamin C into your routine. Mm-hmm. And because you're not going out in the sun as much, you won't like have to worry about like a reaction.
Okay.
Because vitamin C is like one of those things that you have to put sunscreen on because your skin gets sensitive. But if we're all
inside
and social distancing, that shouldn't be as much of a problem.
Okay. Did you see that really funny tweet that was like the Ellen selfie? And it was like, this is like, all of y'all are like, I had a great time social distancing with my friends tonight. I guess also with winter, you know, rearing its head, like it would be the time to introduce some new things to your routine when there's not a lot of light.
Yeah, or just like if you just want to read about stuff,
yeah.
There's like a whole there are whole Reddit sub forums about like what can I do with my skincare, and if it sounds similar, just be like, oh, I can just do my research.
Right.
But it's like a lot of the things now, especially since we're inside, yeah, maybe.
Right.
It's a lot easier to just try, like, be like, oh, like, if you're buying stuff at, like, Sephora or you're buying stuff at Nordstrom and there's a free gift, try and pick out the one that's just, like, a skincare gift with purchase.
Okay, cool.
Just try it out.
That's a good idea.
And maybe not stick around, like, stay away from fragrant stuff.
Okay, so no fragrance, and then also, like, is it, so vitamin C is in, like, a serum form?
Yeah, okay. It comes in a serum form. You can get, like, a pure form. Mm-hmm. Like, the pure form, they want you to keep it, like, in the fridge, because, like, sometimes it, like, oxidizes easily.
Okay.
I don't know if you have enough room in your fridge.
I'm sure I can find have a skincare fridge. Some room. I don't have a skincare fridge, but I'm sure I can find some room in my fridge for skincare.
But, yeah. Also, don't let Dan use St. Ives.
No. We've not brought an apricot scrub into this happy home in a long time. But I can still smell it and also feel the concrete shaving off my beautiful tween skin. Like, what?
And it was gray too, wasn't it? Wasn't it like grayish?
It was very like yeah, it had like an orangey gray tint with the like little beads.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, for sure. And then you'd wipe like a strident 100% pure alcohol on your face and be like, time to go.
But if you're trying to get your dude to wash his face, Cetaphil is still, everyone still loves it. Because yeah, it's so gentle that it's like, I'm not going to offend anyone.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. And I like the idea of doing the test, because once I went to get a facial and she was like, and I thought I had oily skin, but she was like, your skin's super dry. And I was like, well, Jesus, who knew?
Was this at Heyday?
No, it was at, why? Are they notorious for telling you your skin is dry?
No, Heyday is always good at being like, hey, you're completely wrong.
No, this was, I liked Heyday a lot. This was at, what's it called? Oh gosh, it's across the street from Heyday. It's like a full spa, Grand.
Oh, Great Jones.
Great Jones. Mm-hmm. Great Jones Spa. They were like, your skin's dry. Also, the last time I went to get a facial, I like made them show me everything they took out of my skin. It was like the most unrelaxing. I wanted to know. It was great. Ooh. You don't want to know?
No.
Oh, I loved it.
No.
Show me what I'm paying for.
Just, you can Dr. Pimple Popper for free.
No, I can only handle what comes out of my face. I don't want to see anyone else's face. Sorry. This is so great. I'm also going to link to your thread of skincare from what they should buy at the Nordstrom sale. Is the Nordstrom sale over by now?
No,
it's still going on. Jeez Louise. All right, well, this episode comes out on Friday. So hopefully, is it still on by then?
By Friday, I think it's till August 30th, but yeah, I have to double check.
Okay, let me check right now. It's till August 30th, and then this Friday is what day?
Not the 30th.
Great, then we're all in business. I mean, yeah,
rent's not due till next week.
Rent's not due till next week. Right, you have 2 days to buy some. Maybe your landlord will take I Am Beautiful essence, or like my essence, I don't know, whatever that salad's called.
I Am Strong.
I Am Strong. I Am Pretty. No, this is really helpful. And I think, like, you know, for real beginning kind of skincare sneaking in, just like put some basics on the shelf and see if you get any bites from the cis men living in your house.
Well, you know, once you buy the La Mer, all of a sudden you're gonna be like, whoops, it's gone.
Oh yeah, no. the La Mer, I will, and then I'll, if I start buying like $400 cream, I'll have one of those college shower caddies that I keep like far away, and I only take into the bathroom when it's my turn to do my skincare. This is very interesting. Alex, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for getting up early.
Anytime. And I'll see you in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have the best time. Everybody.
I want a yard drink.
Yeah.
A yard drink.
I just, oh my God, I'll take take any. I will squeeze the alcohol out of the Strident pads and put a straw into it if it means this is over faster. Like, I will do anything at this point. Actually, tell everybody where they can follow you and where they can read your work.
I'm gonna let you link my Twitter, but you could my Twitter.
Wants me to do the work you for him. Follow- okay.
Thanks. Well, it's a lot easier than like pulling it out.
You and can it's just, follow like, me. Well, it's not like it's that you hard. Follow- okay.
You can follow me on Twitter. Yeah. On, I'm not on TikTok. You can follow my Instagram.
Okay. I'll link to all of this because he's
also just like DM me if you have questions and I will answer them as best I can or point you in the right direction.
Yes. Do you hear that?
How about that?
This is free labor. From our male. Well, you're linking friends.
Me. I will do, and then that's follow true. Me on Vox, and then I'll send you my skin, my Korean skincare article.
I will actually link to that too. That was from. Let me see where it's from. What you think? What I'm looking it up.
Time is a flat circle now. I know. I can't even remember.
I think it's last winter. Okay. Wait. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. 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 It's January 2019. A long time ago.
Oh, let's go back.
I wish. Okay, I will link to all that. Thank you so much for coming, and hopefully you'll be back soon. You know, maybe we'll have you back and we'll do like a skincare check-in after I'm done putting all this essence fermented water on my face.
I am strong.
You are beautiful, and everyone else out there, you are beautiful too. Or to me, I am. All right, we'll see.